1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're beginning verse 13 and read through verse 16, as Paul wrote to the Christians there at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 2, beginning of verse 13. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but that it is the truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they do not please God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Numerous things is talked about in the first and second letter that Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. As he addressed these Christians, for the most part, it's positive. He is thankful. He mentions numerous times that he is thankful for them, and he gives reasons for his being thankful for the brethren there. The things they were doing, the life they were living, the actions they were taking was good. It was things they needed to be doing. But yet, when you look at these two letters, you see that there was also things that was wrong at Thessalonica. There were some things that were lacking. There were a few people there that had become lazy. There were some there who had become to the point that they were not working because they had stopped work and were waiting on the second coming of Christ. And Paul pointed out to them, you know, this is something that needs to be addressed. It's something that has to be corrected, because you need to be living every day and be prepared if the Lord comes today. But we don't know when He's going to return, so you need to get busy and do your other responsibilities. Provide for your family. Make a living with your hands. Because even when we were with you, we also worked. And so, if any man should not work, then should he eat. So, Paul covered numerous subjects that are good for us today when we think about the Christian life. And any time you look at the writings of Paul and some of the other letters in the New Testament that we've been studying, the writing to Christians, we know it's twofold. It talks about things that need to be corrected. You've done this, it's wrong. Now this is what must be done to correct it. And this is how you take the approach, and this is what will happen to make that correction, and this is how it will be after the correction is made. So he's either correcting a wrong, or he's commending people for the right they are doing and encouraging them to continue in doing the right thing. And we need that today. We need to be encouraged to do the right thing in our lives as Christians. And this evening I want to take just a few points concerning what Paul said to the Thessalonians about the fact that why he was thankful for them. And we are thankful for each other here at Beulah. I've heard it said in Bible classes recently and in the prayers. We pray and we're thankful for each other, and we ought to be. And we ought to be not only thankful for our family here at Beulah, but for other brothers and sisters in Christ that we know, that are that we have relationship with, that we have communications with. Thankful for all the brethren. Thankful for all those that are faithful, as Paul expressed numerous times in his writings. And he even gave special thanks for certain ones as he came to the conclusion of certain letters. And sometimes he addressed certain ones, pointed them out, because they were doing things that were for the benefit of the gospel, or they did things to the benefit of helping him as he struggled as an apostle, being in prison. And some of them sent time and again to them. Some of them came personally to him, you know, to bring things to him, to deliver a cloak or pick up something and deliver it to somewhere else. So Paul was thankful for the good things that people did. So we need the positive. And then when there's something negative goes wrong, and we need to take it in the right way and step up and try to make the corrections according to the way God says in His plan. Now, on that, I just want to inject a few things. All of you have things you do during the week. You have jobs to go to. You have families to take care of. You have business to take care of. And some of it each week is pretty much enjoyable. And sometimes there's stepping blocks that we have to go through. Sometimes there's issues we have to face and correct. And when you come into that wall, you might say, a problem, you have to work through that situation and solve that problem the best you can. And I'm sure Adam, with the crew that he has at the medical facility and all the scans they make and the people that keep records for him and work under him, it has to be a personnel issue from time to time, because people are people, and so there's going to be problems with me or with you because we're people. There's going to be some mistakes made. Recently, where I work, there's and it's been that way in the past for years. But recently, there's been some issues that have arose that the company wanted things handled in a certain way, and they want to handle then. And you know, if these people don't want to do this, then they just hit the door. And so what happens is you don't want to lose good people. Why lose good people when you can't replace them with good people as they are? So why don't you go to those good people and approach it in the right way so that when you finish with them, they are still glad to have a job and they're willing to cooperate with you and stay on the job rather than going in and making them mad and causing them to quit and you can't find a replacement. Or you go in and you tell them you don't have this for them and they something happens and you lose a good employee. So when you go in, and I've learned when you go in, you look at things positively, even if it's going to be a worse outcome than where we're at right now. When you go in and lay it out to the best you can and say, this is the positive side of it. This is what you'll get out of it, and this is what the company will get out of it if it goes this way. But if not, this is what's going to happen. And so for your benefit, the benefit of the company, would be best to go this direction, and we wish you'd do that. Now, there's not any other options, but that'd be the best. You know, it's surprising how many times when you approach things in the right way, it works out good. And I'm amazed, James, that sometimes when you do it that way, when you're walking out the door, they say, thank you. Instead of saying, I'm wishing God, they say, thank you. And I'm the same way. Someone approaches me and they approach it with the right way. And you know, and I see that and I understand it. I ought to be thankful that, and it may be some, maybe be some things I have to correct during that for myself. But there's things that we look in the Bible and we see that living a Christian life, it does have its bumps and roads. It does have its obstacles. There are things that we have to overcome and learn to live with and deal with and correct and upright sometimes. And that's what Paul is doing. Thessalonica, this is where you're at. Here's some issues. Let's correct them. And if you don't, you know, this is what's going to happen. If this brother continues in this, he's going to be in trouble. So discipline this brother. But in the meantime, Paul says, I'm thankful for you. And let's look at this for a few minutes tonight. Paul was thankful for these brethren at Thessalonica. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting. You know, probably it doesn't matter where it's at, what congregation there is in the county or city or wherever you may visit. There's always going to be a lot of good people. But there's sometimes going to be some issues. But now we need to be thankful for the good things. And if there's a problem, we need to be working toward correcting it. So Paul gave thanks for these people and he said, it's only fitting to give thanks because you're doing these things. So it'd be the right thing to do to say thank you because you're trying to do the right thing. And so at Beulah, the things we see going on and people working hard, trying to be at the services even when they don't feel like it sometimes. And oftentimes there's people coming that door and you can see that they don't feel like being here, but they don't have a contagious disease and they're here. And we ought to be thankful that we have people who will push themselves to continue to go rather than take the easy way out and say, I'll just sit at home. Thankful for that. The good examples that's been mentioned so many times in Bible classes here in the last several months of brothers and sisters that have gone on that set good examples that you are thankful for, that you can remember over the years how they live their lives. Thankful for the good things. Thankful for the faith of people. Well, Paul says, I'm thankful for you in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3 because your faith has grown exceedingly. This morning, you know, in Adam's class, he talked about the grace of God and then about believing and about our part in obeying God. Well, it's one thing to believe, but it's another thing to believe and obey, isn't it? Your faith, he says, your faith has grown exceedingly. How does that happen? Well, if they believed the preaching of the gospel and that good news and they accepted that and they were baptized into Christ, they had enough confidence in what they were hearing that they were ready to submit to that to become a Christian. But as a Christian then, their faith was growing in that it was evident that it was growing because of the way they were presenting themselves and their actions of life. So, he was thankful for their faith. Their faith was growing. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. He says, let me go to 2 Thessalonians. I'm in 1 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3 says, we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting because your faith grows exceedingly. And so, sometimes people's faith goes at a different rate. But their faith, he says, grows exceedingly. That means they're making some headway. They're making some improvement. And so my faith needs to grow in God. Your faith needs to grow in God. Our faith needs to grow in the Word of God. Our faith needs to grow in the fact of what the church is and what price was paid for the church, the precious blood of the Lamb. Our faith needs to grow in the fact that here is God who said this, and if He said it, it's true, because He spoke the creation and everything into existence. I need to believe this by faith, because it is in Him that we live and move and have our very being, as Paul declared on Mars Hill when he preached the gospel. So he says, your faith has grown exceedingly. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11 shows that we as Christians, our faith needs to increase, and it needs to increase, and as it does, there'll be other things that will come into play in our life that will be evident. That means our faith is increasing because we're getting better at what we're doing. You know, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to what? Add to your faith. Add to your faith what? Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And if these things be in you and abound, you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in your Lord Jesus Christ. So growing in faith is important. But he goes on and says there in 2 Peter that, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his past sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So, when we look at what Paul says to the church of Thessalonica and their faith is growing, we need to be thankful for Christians whose faith is growing, and we need to make sure our faith is increasing. Our confidence in God is increasing so that we don't fail. He was thankful for them because of their work of faith. We've already mentioned just a little bit about work, but their faith had grown exceedingly, and their work of faith, that the things they were doing that related to their faith in Christ, the things they could do to work in the gospel and for the gospel and of the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Work of faith. You know, we need to believe in we need to believe in something before we can take action on it. If we believe in something enough, then our faith is going to grow in it, and there's going to be some action taken on it. So their work of faith resulted because their faith was growing. The more we believe, the more confidence we have in God and the Word, the more action we'll take to make sure the things we're supposed to be doing or things we're supposed to be doing to support the work of God's Word will be taken care of, because our faith is doing what it ought to do. So then we need to have a working faith. Again, this was mentioned lightly in our class this morning, James 2, 14 through 26, which relates as a Christian, that we have faith that obeys the works that God asks us to do, because we believe and understand that God requires that of us, and we want to do it because we believe God enough that we will show then by our works that we have faith. So then faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. So what Paul is saying is, I'm thankful for the church and the brethren at Thessalonica, because your faith is growing. Your confidence in God is growing. Your belief in Jesus Christ and the gospel is growing. And it was evident because they were even suffering some of the same persecutions as some of the brethren had in Judea and other places. Even against them in their own country, they were facing certain things as Christians, Paul points out. So there's that work of faith that you have. You're continuing to do the things, supporting the gospel, continuing to do the things that God wants you to do. So there's the thing that Paul's thankful for. Their faith that was increasing, and their work of faith. Well, not only that, but when they have the faith that's in the right place and it's growing, and that faith turns into obedient works, he was thankful for them because of their labor of love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Again, he says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love. Labor of love. Well, you know, a labor of love is that which is done because we're Christians, because of our love for God, for Christ, for man, for the love of the truth, for the love of souls. And it could be the labor of love that was done to help Paul in his preaching of the gospel, in the supporting of the preaching of the gospel, his labor of love that people may have ministered unto him time and again to help him in his work. And so there's that labor of love that Christians give. What all is involved in a labor of love? It may be that James Grace picks up the phone and he calls and checks on somebody that wasn't here, and he says, are you okay? I missed your services. How you doing? anything I can do to help you. That's kind of like a labor of love. It may be that that someone, a gospel preacher, is struggling. He needs some financial support. And I use James again. He may know that brother, and he needs an extra $50 a month. And James can give him 25 of it. And he, out of his goodness of his heart, he sends the man $25 a month to help him in his support for a while until he can get it from bread. That'd be a labor of love. The church at Beulah helps several ministers in other places. And it's a work of the gospel. It's a work of spreading the gospel, but still it's the same thing. It's a labor of love of the church here. Your hands are in that because you're giving to the Lord, and the Lord's money is being used to what? Support the preaching of the gospel. And what is gospel? Gospel is a ministry of love. God's love from Him to us because of our sins through His Son, because He loved us so much that He gave His Son, and His Son loved us so much that He gave His life. So Paul is thankful for Christians then who have a faith that's growing and growing exceedingly, a faith that's obeying and working and is involved in labor and doing the things that are involved in the love of God. And the love of God is simply understood that we're to love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, and therefore to also love our neighbors ourselves. So a labor ministry of love involves God, our love for God, God's love for us, and our love for others. We show our love for God by serving others, as we learn in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Well, let's look at a couple more points. Paul says, I give thanks to you at Thessalonica because of your patience of hope. And you think about that. I've been the kind of guy over the years that I've been, you know, I get fidgety. Hyper, I guess you might say. And I don't know why. When I was a kid, we didn't have that stuff that they say that makes these kids like they are today. Sometimes the medication. Maybe it was lack of that that made me like I was. But hyper. Some of us are more hyper than others, and some are not. But and so in that, there comes a need for patience. We need to learn sometimes to slow down our thinking a little bit, or maybe it's how fast we're talking. And excuse me if I get to talking too fast. But I'm trying to illustrate the fact that here, they had a patience of hope. The thing was, there was hope that they had of going to heaven. The hope they had that they had received in the message of the gospel. Yet they were facing some things there that had to be dealt with. And so Paul said there's going to come a time of reckoning. There's going to come a time of reckoning when the Lord Himself, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, when the Lord Himself is going to appear from heaven and He's going to bring vengeance on those who what? Who know not God. And who obey not the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, wherefore then, comfort yourself with these words. Because Christians, if you'll hold up, if you be patient in your hope of heaven and be faithful in that, keep your work going, your love for God going, your work of faith going, and your obedience going, the patience is going to pay off for you. Because when He comes, and those that haven't obeyed, those who've rejected the words of God, they're going to be lost. But the others then are going to find comfort in knowing that you're going to be blessed, you're going to go home to heaven. So there's a reason to have a patience of hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 again, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope, what? In our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God, our Father. So these Christians in Thessalonica, that they were learning to deal with the issues around them, with the things that was coming upon them, the persecutions that may have been going around, the things they were hearing and seeing from those who did not believe as they should, the pressures they were under. So Paul's saying, I'm thankful for you because you have patience of hope. So as Christians today, we need to be patient, understanding that we take God's Word, we believe it, we apply it, we obey it. And it may be a struggle getting through this over the years. There may be some bumps. There may be some hills to climb. There may be some ditches to crawl out of. There may be some obstacles to face to where we have to break sweat and we just have to say, how am I going to get through this? But we can get through it. We will get through it if we have a patience of hope. And God will be thankful for us if we'll do that. And we'll be more thankful if we do it because we'll go to heaven. So Paul was thankful for them because they had a patience of hope. And I need to learn that. I need to learn patience. We all need to learn patience, especially in our living every day, to be faithful in the Christian life in knowing that there's hope at the end. There's a better place coming. And so our hope is there. Don't lose sight of that hope. Don't lose the anchor of that hope. So keep our faith working. Be obedient to God in all that we do. He says, then he gave thanks to them, and giving thanks to them, again in verse 1, or verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm going back from 1 Thessalonians to 2 Thessalonians, but here in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, again, as he wrote the second letter, he said, I'm thankful to you because of the love that you have toward each other. So let's go to verse 3. He says, we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. So when you think about what Paul was thankful for in the Thessalonians, it was their belief in God, their faith in the gospel, the hope they had in it, their faith that was growing, the willingness they had to stand for the truth and be faithful no matter what comes, to listen and to be patient through tribulations, and then to show each other in the church, brothers and sisters in Christ, the proper love toward one another while all this is going on. And so we need to be thankful and beautiful that we have the right attitude toward each other, the proper attitude of love, that we care about each other. Not just to the physical things of if someone's sick, if someone's having health problems, if someone loses a family member, when there's death and when there's issues and when there's obstacles, but the proper love toward one another spiritually. That you'd encourage me and I'd encourage you to be faithful, because heaven is where we want to go. That's where we want to be. You know, if we need encouragement, let's give each other encouragement. If we need a little boost, or sometime if we need a reprimand, that should come out of love to say, I need to be faithful. I don't want to lose heaven. I don't want to lose my soul. So there's that love that we have toward one another and the love they had for each other. And so we go back to Matthew 22 and verse 39. You know, as you go to 37 through 39 in Matthew 22. And he talks about the fact of loving God with all our heart and all our soul. And then he goes on, and the second commandment is like unto this, you should love your neighbors yourself. So the Thessalonians, they loved each other. They had the right love for each other's brothers and sisters. And so we ought to do that. And so we ought to love our fellow man in the right attitude too, and show them correctly. But in the church, there needs to be that love for one another, as God explains, and Jesus explains to us through the Word, that the love for each other is important. Romans 12 and verse 10, turn over there and let's note what Paul says concerning the love that we ought to have toward each other in the church. Romans 12 and verse 10, he says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. So when we think about what Paul saw at Thessalonica, what he witnessed in those Christians, the things that needed to be addressed, that needed to be correct, but most of all, the things that were doing he could give thanks for, one of them was the love that they had for each other. Love for each other. And he prayed then that their love would grow for each other. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12, and let's take a look at that verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. He says, And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Paul loved brothers and sisters in Christ because he knew they had been purchased with the same blood of Christ that he was. They were in the family of God. He loved them, and he encouraged them then to increase and abound in love toward one another. It's not like we can just say, I love the brethren at Beulah. I love the brothers and sisters at Beulah. But our love ought to increase with one another. And as our love increases, we will want to, you know, to have a good relationship with one another. Not just when we come together, but to know about each other and to keep up with each other of our needs if we need help. And the sharing of responsibility of spiritual growth and spiritual encouragement, as well as the other things that goes along with that. Well, when he talks about giving thanks to God for these brethren, he gave thanks to the God for these brethren at Thessalonica and these Christians there because of the perseverance and faith that they had during difficult times. I mentioned earlier that, you know, he talks about, you know, there's issues, that issues other Christians are facing. There's issues you're facing, but because of your perseverance and faith, I'm thankful for you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4. He says, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. you endure. Sometimes people determine that it's easier in their life to walk away from supporting the work of the church or going on and being involved in the work of the church. And it's easier to walk away than it is to stand up and hang with it. But what Paul is saying is that when trials come, when troubles come, when there's things that may be out there that would weaken your faith, when there's issues that arise, what are we taught in the Scriptures to do? We're taught to address that issue. Address it the way that God says to address it. Correct it the way He says to correct it. And sometimes it's hard to go through that scenario to get things corrected. And sometimes it may not work out exactly the way we think it should, but it'll work out the way that God's Word tells us it will if we carry the whole process through. So we need to be able to persevere and have faith during difficulties. Not only did the Christians at Thessalonica face some of these things, Paul did, Peter and John did, other Christians throughout the regions of Galatia and around the world that Paul traveled in his missionary journeys, they faced these problems. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 now. We read 1 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 16. In the beginning of the lesson. But let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2 and read verses 13 through 17 this evening as we think about being faithful, serving God, doing His will, and standing fast in our patience, our hope, our love, our obedience, our tribulations, and giving thanks to God always for what He does for us and being thankful for each other. Verse 13, beginning of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work, every good word and work. There's so much encouragement to be found in the Scriptures. And yet at times there's reprimands for us. Paul does both in writing to the church at Thessalonica. But I think sometimes we need to really look at the positives of being a Christian, because it is all positive. The outcome is far better of being a Christian than any other outcome it could ever be. Whatever we have to go through here as a Christian, we need to be thankful for each other and thankful for God. Well, let's go back to Ephesians 1 and verse 3 again. And let's note one more time. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Thankful for God and for our blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. Because Paul was thankful for the Thessalonians. And what Paul had and what they had was all because of what God did in blessing them and us through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." So this evening, the point of the lesson is that if you're faithful and I'm faithful, we've got a lot to be thankful for. Not only for our own faith and faithfulness, but we can be thankful that we're going to heaven. Are you faithful? If you're not, why not listen to Paul? If you want to be pleasing to God and God to give thanks for you and give thanks for me, we need to have the faith that's willing to step up and say, "I'm going to do, Lord, what you asked me to do toward you, toward your word, toward the church, toward the brethren, and toward myself to get to heaven." We've got a lot to be thankful for. And one of the things we have to be thankful for here is each other as Christians. Let's remember that. But most of all, thank God, our Creator, for His grace and mercy and His plan and His willingness to give us access to Him, and thank Him for His Son and His Son's sacrifice and for the family of God that we're a part of. We're so thankful to be there, to be Christians. Let's serve Him faithfully. If you're here this evening and you're not a child of God, you can leave this building as a child of God and be thankful for your forgiveness if you'll just believe that Jesus is the Son of God and be willing to confess that. Repent of your sins and be baptized this evening. You can leave the building and say, "I'm thankful." And we'll be thankful for you, and so will the Lord. Maybe you're here this evening and there is something in your life as a Christian you may need to correct in a public way. God allows you to be able to be thankful when you leave this building that you did what He asked you to do to correct anything that may be wrong. Because if you're a Christian and you have something of a public nature you need to correct, He asks you and He requires of you to confess your fault, repent of your sins, and pray to Him. And you can ask the brethren to pray for you, and we'll pray with you if we have example of being done in the Bible, and you'll be forgiven. We ought to be thankful for that access that God gives to us, and don't abuse it and don't lose it. Use it, because it's there for us. As I've said before, it's not a license to sin, but it's there for us if we do sin, because we will sin. We're going to make some mistakes. If it's privately, fix it privately between you and God. If it's between you and another person and God, fix it between them. But if it's something you need to correct in a public way, fix it that way and you can leave and you can be thankful. As Paul was thankful for them, you can be thankful for God and say, I'm forgiven. I'm right with God. So if you need to respond, please do so while Jason leads us in the invitation song.